It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. An inaugural four-day ice climbing festival is set to open Thursday in Winona, Minnesota. It features a presentation by Wisconsin native Dave Roney, who started his adventures in ice climbing at Interstate Park on the scenic St. Croix River nearly a half century ago. As we explore ice climbing, call in with a question. You can add comments, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Dave, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
So tell us about your origin story. You started climbing about 50 years ago. How did you first get into this?
Yes, the way I started was by reading about it, I guess. My dad was a voracious reader, and we always had books around the house. And one of the first I remember was called Annapurna, and it was a story about the first ascent of an 8,000-meter peak, which was Annapurna, and it's a remarkable story. It was back in the 1950s, captured my interest. And then he also had a series of books by Time and Life, and one was titled The Mountains, and it was just fascinating to me. So that was really the origins. And finally, we have a cabin on the, had a cabin on the St. Croix River, just below Interstate Park. So occasionally I would see people climbing there, and that's what really piqued my interest.
Ah, okay. And so then you find your way to Interstate Park. Where did you start, and what did you do in your climbing there?
Yes, initially I was rock climbing. Mm-hmm. I was just rock climbing for about a year, but of course I read everything I could about the sport, and occasionally I would read things about ice climbing. And, that was a part of climbing I wasn't familiar with and didn't know anything about, but I was interested. And remarkably, there is a dam in St. Croix Falls that goes across the St. Croix River, and that dam gets ice on the face in the winter. And my friend and I thought, hey, there's some ice. Let's go check it out. And so that dam face was the first ice I ever climbed in January of 1978.
Oh, wow. And you got bit by some bug, I understand. I mean, you eventually start really taking this seriously and devoting your time and energy to it. What makes a place good for ice climbing?
Yeah, great question. It was quite a while before ice climbing really became, I guess, my favorite part of climbing. Some of the reasons, ice is very different, of course. It changes daily. It changes with temperature. It is difficult to climb in that you can't just grab it and do anything with it. You have to have very specialized equipment. And so it's complicated. And then as you take it to higher levels, maybe into the mountains and other places, it just adds to the flavor of that experience. There's just so many things that you have to be prepared for, from avalanche hazard on approaches to ice falling off as you climb it, which is one of the biggest hazards. As you climb ice, you knock some of the ice off. And so, you have to be very careful and plan ahead.
We're talking with Wisconsin native Dave Roney, ahead of a new ice climbing festival in Winona, Minnesota. You can join in with questions and comments at 800-642-1234. So what is the most dangerous ice climb you've attempted, or the most one that you had to take a lot of precautions with?
Yeah, that's a good question. There've been a lot over the years, of course. I guess one that comes to mind is in the Canadian Rockies with another Wisconsin native, John Jugenheimer. We climbed a route just outside of Lake Louise in Alberta called Gimme Shelter. And Gimme Shelter had a lot of objective hazards. The ice climb itself was about 1,000 feet. It was a 13-mile ski in, and there was significant avalanche hazard getting to the base of the route. And then overhead hazard was the glacier at the top of the mountain, Mount Quadra, that the ice climb emanated from. In the summertime, there'd be melt, and then in the fall and winter, that melt would freeze. But with a glacier at the top of an ice climb, things called seracs fall off. Glaciers move, as you know, and they will move toward the edge of the top of a mountain and occasionally fall off. So there was a lot of objective hazard from avalanche to serac collapse.
You had to probably always stay on alert, always being aware of what was around you, the sounds, the sight. I would imagine you were using all your senses.
Exactly. Yes. And the key to one of the keys as well is to move fast and try to, one of the ways to eliminate hazard is not be there very long. So we watched conditions and we made the determination as best we could, and we were successful. It was we spent we, it took us a day to get in, and then we bivouacked, and then the next day we climbed and skied out. So it was quite an experience and one that I remember well to this day.
Do you have any like rituals or traditions when you reach the top or the peak of where you're trying to get to? Is there something you do?
No, I wouldn't say that. Enjoy the top, the satisfaction of reaching the top or finishing the route. But usually it is okay, let's go down. And, like I say, try to move fast and stay out of the hazard area as much as possible.
And so knowing when it is safe to climb, we had the Michigan Ice Fest canceled. Its outdoor programming due to unseasonably warm temperatures this month. Is finding suitable ice becoming more difficult?
Yeah, that's really unfortunate. For Michigan to have those kinds of problems, but the Midwest and other parts of the country certainly have had difficulty with ice climbing this winter. It's been so warm. And yes, finding appropriate ice can be difficult. It changes with temperature. And of course, warm temperature is bad, and ice will start to fall off of cliffs and other formations. So it adds to that hazard. And I would say that yes, it has become more difficult in the Midwest, especially this year,
So,
to
where do
find good ice.
climbers go to find suitable ice?
Well, that's another challenge. Cody, Wyoming is a very popular area. The Canadian Rockies by Banff and Canmore is an amazing area. Quebec, Colorado has quite a few areas. There's an online network that allows people to find out conditions and good places to go. So that's really helpful.
Dave Roney is with us, veteran ice climber from Wisconsin. Call in with a question. You can share your thoughts at 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. An inaugural ice climbing festival gets underway Thursday in Winona, Minnesota. And we meet Wisconsin native Dave Roney, who started his rock and ice climbing adventures in the late 70s at Interstate Park in St. Croix Falls. It's home to that steep walled gorge, the Dalles of the St. Croix River. Call in with a question. Share your thoughts. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Dave, ice climbers can participate in competitions around the world that are put on by the International Climbing and Mountaineering Federation. How do these ice climbing competitions work?
I'm not terribly familiar. It is usually a speed event, so climbers will all climb the same route. And they will not have an opportunity to preview it. So they have to start climbing this thing that they are totally unfamiliar with. And then it is mainly who gets to the top first or who gets the furthest on these routes. They are very difficult.
So speed keeps coming up here. Can you talk about the tools you use and the ice axes and how they work and how they help you keep going?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, you can't just grab ice and do anything with it. You've got to have equipment. And the two main pieces of equipment are crampons on your feet, which have very sharp points that you kick into the ice. And then you have ice tools in your hand, which are shortened axes, really, with very sharp picks. And the sharper, the better. It'll penetrate the ice cleanly and less likely to chip ice away. But ice tools and crampons are the primary tools for climbing ice.
And then you have like a rack of ice screws. What are they used for?
Correct. Ice screws are used to build anchors and or to protect yourself as you climb. They're hollow tubular screws, and they've got 3 to 4 teeth and very sharp again, and you just turn them into the ice. They come in various lengths depending on the thickness of the ice, but they are very strong and typically used in pairs for an anchor. When a climber leads ice, starts from the ground and goes up, they will place screws as they go.
Are they hard to get in with your own strength?
It can be challenging depending on the stance. If you have a nice flat stance on the ice, maybe a little ledge, it's easier to put it in because you can stand and press your body weight into it. If you're on a very steep section of ice and the footing is tricky, it can be very taxing and strenuous to put those in. But nevertheless, you've got to have them. They will protect you in case of a fall.
Is there art and technique to using these types of tools and these ice screws?
Absolutely. Climbing ice is all about decision making. You're making hundreds and hundreds of decisions as you climb on ice. You swing your tool into the ice and immediately, is that good? Can I pull up on that? Do I need to swing again? Is the ice here good for this screw? Is it going to be solid? If I fall, will the screw stay in place or will it pull out of this ice? So there's a lot of decision making that goes on with ice climbing, and I think that's what really makes it enjoyable.
How accessible is the sport of ice climbing? As you look at the tools and the gear, how accessible is it to athletes with disabilities?
It's improving, I guess I would say that. Climbing is pretty tough if you don't have full use of both hands and both feet. Nevertheless, there are remarkable advances have been made that do allow some people with disabilities to climb. I mean, I've heard of people having prosthetic legs fitted with crampons. So these kinds of technological improvements will help, but it would be extremely difficult, for someone like that.
Dave, is there like good training or simulation you can do for ice climbing in order to become comfortable with using these tools and the strategies?
I think the best training is these ice parks. And as you mentioned, Winona's going to have their first ice festival. Eric Bernard there has done such a fantastic job of bringing rock and ice climbing to the Winona and the surrounding communities. These ice parks are very safe. They have anchors at the top. The ice is monitored so that you know that it's going to be safe. There's instruction available, guide services. So that has really helped open up the sport to other people.
we're talking with veteran ice climber and Wisconsin native Dave Roney is with us ahead of an ice climbing festival. We are exploring this sport, adventure sport. You can join in questions and comments along the way, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Let's bring in Tim, who is in Winona, Minnesota. Tim, hi. Hi, Tim.
Hello,
can you hear
morning.
Us? Yes, good morning.
Yeah, I'm calling in from Winona, Minnesota, driving here to work this morning, and I can drive right past our awesome ice climbing park here. It's pretty cool.
So have you tried it?
No, I'm quite afraid of heights, but I know a lot of people that do, and it's just kind of unique. Just a beautiful scenery, too, just right along the highway, right on the side of the bluffs. Right next to Sugarloaf, which is kind of a nice, cool little local tourist spot here in Winona. But yeah, it's just a beautiful setting. And if I was braver, I'd love to try it.
Dave, what can you tell us about the setting for the ice park?
Yeah, as Tim mentions, it is really remarkable. It sits on Sugarloaf, which is above the city and right on the Mississippi. You drive to the top and have easy access. I have not climbed there before. I have seen it from below. I've talked to Eric. I've talked to a lot of my friends who've been there, and it's just an outstanding venue that Eric has put together.
So do you have to get a license in order to climb, or how does that work?
No, I wouldn't say that's the case. Usually these ice parks are open to anyone. If there is a problem, there would be signs or notices for people to stay away. But once the ice is formed, people are free to just show up and climb.
Tim, that means you. Show up and climb. Just do it.
All right, noted. Yeah, I was going to say last year when it was a little more ideal, I believe they had like free climb days. You could just go up and there was instructors up there. I don't know if that's been happening this year, but I thought that was kind of cool. And as you're driving down the highway, you can obviously see people up there climbing. So it's pretty interesting.
Well, I appreciate you calling in and giving that update on the way to work and giving us a bit of that view. So, Dave Roney, how is ice climbing then different from rock climbing?
Mainly the equipment. For rock climbing, a pair of shoes that have sticky rubber on them and a chalk bags to help improve your grip, keep your fingers dry. And then that's the difference. Those are really the only things you need to climb rock. But then, of course, to climb safely, you'll need a rope and some equipment for protection. But for ice climbing, again, it's the crampons and the ice tools. And then, of course, it's winter, so it's cold. And you have to plan for the clothing that you're going to wear and, just to make sure that you're comfortable. Is it going to be really cold? Is it going to be 5 below 0 when you're out ice climbing? Or is it going to be 15 or 20 degrees? That'll make a difference in your clothing selection.
I would imagine, too, your toes would get very cold there, next to the ice and going into the ice when in those really frigid conditions. Is that an issue?
Absolutely right. It hurts oftentimes because you are cold. Your toes get cold, your fingers get cold, and sometimes they just get numb with cold. Then you've got to stop and get the blood back in, and it's painful. It hurts at times, and there's a kind of a saying about the three necessary attributes of an ice climber. First is a high tolerance for pain. Secondly is a short memory. And I can't remember the third.
I mean, what pushes you through in those most difficult climbs? What goes on in your head?
Yeah, it's the challenge. Part of it, too, is being with your partner and working together to get through those things. As Tim mentioned, there's some fear and some anxiety. It's just overcoming those things. and planning and just working toward that objective of getting to the top.
Do you climb year round?
I do, yeah. So it's my favorite season has become winter for probably the last 15 years. But when the ice is gone, I rock climb as well.
And very quickly here, your favorite places to rock climb? Any tips you can throw our way?
Well, I live in Custer, South Dakota, which is 2 hours from Devil's Tower, and it is Custer also is right near the Needles. Beautiful rock climbing here in the Black Hills of South Dakota.
Well, Dave, good to talk with you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, I thank you for the opportunity, and I'm hopeful that some of your listeners will show up in Winona, and I'll see them next weekend.
All right. Dave Roney is a Wisconsin native with nearly 5 decades of experience as an ice climber. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.